You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as home favourite Francesco Molinari reigns supreme again in Italy.
I did it somehow, maybe not the prettiest way, but that's the cup in my arms is the thing that matters and I'm very proud.
And we'll hear more from Francesco Molinari shortly. Danny Willett ran the Italian close, but the Masters champion ultimately fell just short, finishing one shot behind on 21 under par.
It's one of those things. I think we're 40 under par for the two times you've played this tournament in eight rounds of golf. So to finish third and second, it's hopefully it's here again next year and we can go on better.
So stay with us for a full and comprehensive review of what was a thrilling final day at the Italian Open. And we'll also preview the Porsche European Open and discuss Davis Love III's captain's picks for this month's Ryder Cup. Hello, I'm Robert Lee, and alongside me once more is Jamie Spence, no stranger to winning many times on the European Tour. And Jamie, you actually were in Italy. Tough week.
Yes, I was, Rob. Tough week. Yeah, weather. Rained, thunder and lightning as well. But amazingly, as ever, the European Tour, they get it done. Four rounds, you can't believe it. We thought it was going to be 54 holes all week long, but no. Sun came out Sunday. And what a great round of golf that was yesterday. What a show Willett and Molinari put on for us.
You know, it's a great thing that, because with the sort of protracted nature of the 3 days that preceded the final round, when they actually got to it, there was a show. That was the great thing.
Exactly right. It could have fallen, become a damp squib, couldn't it? But far from that, because Molinari's start on Sunday was absolutely sensational. But Willett wasn't going to let go. He's playing some good stuff now, Danny Willett, and others as well. Chris Paisley had a very, very good day securing his car. But it was all about Molinari, and we just thought he was going to canter off into the sunset with a five-shot victory. But none of it. He missed a little putt on that 13th, and then it all became very, very close and very, very tense.
But to start with an eagle, Jamie, if you're looking for the ideal start when you're tied with Danny Willett, and he's probably not trying to make a point because he didn't make the Ryder Cup side, he just didn't play well enough up until this point, but to get one over on him straight away must have been massive.
Well, yeah, then they both birdied the second after that. So he had the putter working early, Molinari. He came out with intent. He had that energy about him all week. He had a bit of a buzz about him. You could just see what it meant to him, Molinari. I mean, outside the majors, this is the one he really wants to win. But he had the crowds yesterday. Whoa, incredible, just following him around. It was like a football crowd following him around from hole to hole. So having that on top of you as well, being the home favourite, it's not easy to cope with, but he did it incredibly well.
Italian crowds are deceptively good, Jamie. Have been over the years.
Bodes well for the Ryder Cup.
Think about Rome. Yeah.
Well, it's free entry as well, which is always a good initiative. Yeah. If you're bringing your family along, it's not going to cost you too. If you're just the keen golfer in the family, let's say, and you want to bring your wife and your kids, they all came along. And it was a big family day yesterday. Sun was out. Food's great in Italy as well.
I was going to say, how was the food?
Food in the clubhouse.
When we talked about those tomatoes last week, how were the tomatoes?
Oh, forget the tomatoes.
Bit of olive oil.
That prosciutto.
Oh, you like the prosciutto?
Man,
you?
The tomato mozzarella and the prosciutto. Yes.
Yeah. That's just a starter.
Oh, that was just a starter, trust me.
Let's leave the food and get into the back nine. It was pretty much ding-dong all the way. It was always going to be one of those two that was going to win. And then all of a sudden, at the 14th, Willett hit a brilliant second shot, made an eagle, and it was down to one.
Well, before that, Willett birdied 13. Molinari missed that little tiddler, didn't he? And just opened the door for him. And then Willett just stepped straight through it with that eagle on 14. One in it with four holes to play, up for grabs. The golf became a little bit scrappy after that. Understandably so. Been out there all day. I mean, listen, these guys have got up at 5 in the morning for a 7:30 start. You know, they go to the gym, all of that stuff, all that preparation.
That's it.
And so they've been up there all day. So understandably so, the last four holes, it became a bit scrappy, but very exciting for that scrappiness, I'd have to say.
What was the rapturous applause like for Molinari when he was the champion?
Every hole, though, Rob. It was every hole.
Really?
And the scene around the last was great. They had so many kids, and they brought them all to the front of the stands, all the kids, and they were just going nuts. And it was brilliant atmosphere. I mean, really, really was. And when he held that, I got to be honest, I didn't think he'd hold that little tiddler at the last. It was a 4 footer, a little bit left to right. It was a horrible one to have, but hey, it went in the hole. And you could just see what it meant to Francesco. And the fans just.
Normally a quiet man, Francesco, isn't he? He doesn't, you know, he's not too ebullient. He doesn't give too much out. But sometimes all that stuff that's pent up comes out.
Yeah, I interviewed him a couple of times last week and I just noticed a bit of a change in his mood. He was showing a lot more emotion. Normally just keeps everything calm and under control. But you could just tell what it meant to him going into the last round with all the crowd and all his friends and family there. So great scenes on the last day. But, you know, as I said, for the Ryder Cup, in 6 years' time, is it? It's going to be fantastic there.
Yeah, great for the Italians, great for Francesco Molinari, his second Italian Open win. Let's hear from the champ.
Amazing, amazing, especially, you know, the way it happened, playing in the last group. You know, he turned out to be head-to-head against Danny, and obviously he's a great player. I wish him, you know, the best for the Ryder Cup. But I'm very proud of how I played today, especially when the long game kind of left me the last few holes. You know, it is special for me to win this way. It's definitely the first time I win this way, so very proud of it.
How would you compare the two victories 10 years apart?
This was much, much harder. No comparison. You know, 10 years ago, I didn't even know what I was doing. So, you know, there were fewer expectations. I was just playing, you know, enjoying today, coming down the last few holes. It was proper pressure. So I did it somehow, maybe not the prettiest way, but, you know, that's the cup in my arms is the thing that matters, and I'm very proud.
Well, many thanks to Nick Dyer for speaking to Francesco. And you could tell in his voice there, Jamie, he was just thrilled to get that done. But he's always known as a fairways and greens golfer. For him to scrap it home, that was pretty nice.
Well, he was most of the week. His driving was exceptional, I'd have to say, a week. But as I said earlier, when you've been up there all day, you're playing 27 holes here in the soft conditions, and you've been in and out up on the course, you know, you have not got much sleep, all that sort of stuff. So it's going to wear you down. And then you say scrap it out those last four holes. It was very impressive. It must have made it all the more sweeter for him. This is his best victory of the lot, as far as I'm concerned. As he said, when he won his first one there back in 06, he didn't really know what he was doing. I'm sure he did. But this was hard. And the golf he played as well, and he's pressed all the way by a major champion who's back to form. Course record score. I know they were placing as well, but they've reduced the par by one from last year. Last year's score was 19 under. That was low. 22 under. Add on four on that. You can think it's 26 under on the same course, really. So great golf. Really, really good golf. And what a great way to win.
Now, it was his fourth European international schedule victory in his 292nd official European Tour event. His first European Tour win since the 2012 Open d'Espagne, a gap of 4 years and 135 days. And he follows Joost Luiten, who won the KLM Open last week, to become the second consecutive home player to win their National Open. Winning your National Open is always a very special thing. Well, let's hear from the man who ran Molinari so close, runner-up, Danny Willett.
If you'd have said you're going to shoot 66, finish 1,200 par, and you're still going to lose, you know, some days you just get beat.
Did you think you got him when you reduced a four-stroke deficit to the one?
It was close, eh? And then we gunned it down 17, and obviously, especially when he missed the green, we had a nice pitch in there that's just pitched a couple short of the number and obviously spun back down and made it a bit tricky. And then again on the last, you know what I mean? I mean, I've hit a terrible golf shot off the last tee, so, you know, in fairness, pretty fortunate to make four, but it is what it is. It's been a fantastic week. The crowds have been awesome. It's been good. As you can hear, it's, you know, you're kind of getting a taste of what it's like against Frankie in Italy. It's tough, so I'm sure it's going to be 100 times worse when we get to the Ryder Cup in America, but it's actually been, you know, a little bit of a taster, and it's been good to play under that pressure and to be under the gun and be in contention.
Good thoughts, actually. Good way of thinking about it. You know, when they do get the Hazeltine, the American Ryder Cuppers that take on the Europeans will have it tough with the crowd. There's no doubt about that.
Danny didn't have it tough with the crowd. They were just very, very loud when Molinari hit a shot. Whatever, didn't matter where it went.
So they weren't anti him. They just
No. They were not anti Danny Willett at all. When he held a few shots, it was a polite, you know, clapping, obviously. But they wanted their man to win. They showed it and they cheered him on. It's going to be different in Hazeltine.
Oh, Hazeltine,
Danny,
yeah.
But he got a taste of it, what it's like. He got a taste of the noise. There's no doubt about that.
But good for Danny to be playing some good golf again now, coming up to where he wants to play his best stuff.
Rob, I've been saying it now for about 5-6 weeks. I was out in Rio with Danny. As
you said,
know.
He was close, didn't you?
And I said he was. You could just tell he was in a lot of good shots, but he just had the odd hole where it was just going against him, and he was giving it a bit of why me. He's got out of that, and I think he's put his green jacket back in the cupboard now. So he's playing golf again, and good for him, and good for the European team as well.
Yeah, he's a very, very good golfer. Now, Englishman Chris Paisley was also delighted to finish on 18 under par, which meant a share of third place.
Fantastic, yeah. Given how my season's gone, and it's been a bit of a struggle, especially the first half of the season, I was kind of starting to look fairly bleak for keeping my card, and I said to my wife a couple of weeks ago that in Italy and Germany I'm going to lock up my card, and to do it in only one event is it's amazing, and I'm just so happy.
I really, really enjoy performances from guys like Chris who get to this part of the year and they can see the amount of tournaments they've got to get it done starting to chip away to almost nothing. They're hanging on to a strand and they produce a performance.
I followed him yesterday and yeah. He hardly put a foot wrong, I've got to say. He played very, especially over the last four holes where you saw, you know, Willett and Molyneux struggle. He didn't. He had a lot of good shots, solid iron shots. And I was delighted for him, really, because he was being pressed. You know, lots of guys were making birdie behind him, but he didn't crumble at all. He just kept going, played his own game. And as I say, to get it all done in a rush, to win his card again for the second consecutive season is a really great performance.
Yeah, well done to Chris. Excellent performance. Just to mention that Scotland's Jamie McCleary had a hole-in-one at the 10th during his second round. Did he win anything?
Won the car, won the Mercedes. First shot of the day, by the way.
No.
First shot of the day in. Then he birdied the 12th, which is a par three. So he had a one and a two in the first three holes.
That's incredible.
First shot of the day, mate.
And
just
put the motor car in, you know, put it in the car park.
I'd have just gone home.
Oh, yeah, just drive it home. Yeah. What, you'd be worried about the mileage you put on the car or?
No, I just pulled out the tournament.
You're just so flash.
You can't beat that.
Yeah, that's great. Well done to Jamie. Top 10, please, Jamie. You, Jamie, from the Italian Open.
Oh, this is me, Jamie. In 12th, tied Jeff Winter, Thomas Linard, the defending champion Rickard Karlberg, and Rafa Cabrera-Bello. Off to Hazeltine. Nice week for Rafa. Tied 7th, Alexander Lavie, Scott Jameson, Tommy Fleetwood, and Alejandro Canizares, and also another Spaniard, Jorge Campillo. Tied 5th, Richard Bland. He's on every leaderboard, so it seems, lately. David Horsey. Good week for David Horsey. In tied 3rd was Chris Paisley and Nacho Elvira. He hits it mild, by the way, Nacho Elvira. 2nd, the Masters champion, Danny Willett, with 21 under. And in 22 under, a record, Francesco Molinari.
Terrific stuff. Now, fancy race to Dubai tips. Form has been patchy over recent weeks. I'll just let you know that I went for Ben Ann, who was going along really nicely, and I think was poised to win.
Then he realised that you tipped him.
Then he realised that I tipped him and found a way to get himself disqualified. Wrong digit in the wrong box.
Yes, that can
signed
happen.
For the wrong score.
It happens.
DQ, yeah. Just shows you the importance of making sure that you get that right. We always say, oh, make sure you get your card right. Sounds a bit boring, but it's so important.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not like after football, is it, where you've got to sign. Did you score a goal today? No, I didn't. No, you've got to sign the card.
That's right.
No, no. The only sport where you've got to sign for your own score. So, bad luck, Ben.
Martin Kaymer, tied 20th. Your pick. Not bad. He's playing all right.
Yeah, not bad. He lost in a playoff last year. I thought he was going to do better than that. But not bad. Yeah, played well.
Yeah. Well, Martin, again, showing a little bit of consistency before he gets to Hazeltine. Now, on the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, Craig Stewart with his team, A Tad Rough, topped the weekly standings with over 2.3 million points. Both Italian Open winner Francesco Molinari and runner-up Danny Willett featured in his lineup. Thomas Edling's Iceman Is Coming team still tops the overall leaderboard with over 25 million points, nearly a million more than his closest challenger. Keep an eye on the European Tour website this week for our Fantasy 3 to watch at the Porsche European Open. Jamie, top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings, please.
Well, moving up to 19th is Francesco Molinari with his home win there. Go to the top 10. Lee Westwood is at 10th. Tyrrell Hatton having a great season at 9. Alex Noren at 8. Chris Wood at 7. Brandon Grace at 6. Louis Oosthuizen at 5. Rafa Cabrera-Bello at 4. Rory's at 3. Henrik Stenson 2. And the Masters champion, Danny Willett, number 1.
Now, in other news, the US Ryder Cup captain, Davis Love III, last week confirmed Ricky Fowler, JB Holmes and Matt Kuchar as 3 of his 4 wildcard picks for Hazeltine. We can hear now from all of them, starting with Matt Kuchar.
I really am thrilled to be part of this. I was part of that team at Medina. Davis Love is like a brother, like an uncle down here. We love him so much. We have so much respect for him. For me to make this team, I can't wait to make amends and try to bring the cup home.
The Ryder Cup's a whole different animal, and I'm looking forward to that opportunity. Having the two overseas, it's going to be pretty amazing getting to play in front of a home crowd. It'll be a completely different feeling for sure. But Hazeltine, a place where I've played well at, played the U.S. Amateur there quite a while back now, so I'm looking forward to the opportunity to get to go around that course again.
I mean, I was very excited. You know, it's been one of my main goals all year to get on this team, and to get that call from Davis was just a very exciting moment. Some of my greatest memories in golf was at the Ryder Cup at Valhalla, so really excited to get back in the Ryder Cup format and get out there and play.
At least JB Holmes knows what it's like to win a Ryder Cup.
He'd be my first pick, actually, out of all those guys winning at Valhalla. I thought he played really well. He's played well this season. He'd be first one on the sheet, as would Kuchar. He'd be the next one. Then it was just a case of...
You surprised with the Fowler one?
Well, I don't know why he hasn't picked Bubba anyway. I really don't. I mean, you know, he's gone for Fowler, Kuchar, and Holmes. So I think
and
Kuchar
left out the world number seven.
Left out the world number seven. I don't get that. If he's
going to get in, isn't he?
Of course, he's going to get in, and I just think it's a bit of a, I don't know, it's a bit of a slight on him. I think the fact you picked somebody who didn't make the Tour Championship, Ricky Fowler, or just pick all four now and just say that's my team. I'm happy with those four, because if Justin Thomas or Ryan Moore, whatever, Daniel Berger win the final series, he's sort of dug a bit of a hole for himself here.
Senior Tour and Paul Broadhurst. It's an amazing sort of introduction to senior golf Broadhurst has had. It's incredible. He's continued his excellent form in 2016 by winning the Nature Valley First Tee Open at Pebble Beach, having claimed victory at the Senior Open Championship presented by Rolex in July. The 51-year-old birdied the 18th to take a one-shot victory on the PGA Tour champions ahead of Bernard Langer and Kevin Sutherland. And South Korea's In Ji Chun shot the lowest ever 72-hole score at a major to win the Evian Championship. She finished 21 under par, breaking the women's record by two shots. She carded the final round of 69 in France to win her second major. Let's have the top 10 in the world rankings, please.
Well, the only mover is Danny Willett. He moves up to number 10 from number 11. Ricky Fowler at 9. Patrick Reed at 8. Bubba, the not been picked yet, Bubba, number 7. Adam Scott at 6. Henrik Stenson at 5. Jordan Spieth is at 4. Rory 3. Dustin Johnson at 2. And our number 1 still is Jason Day.
Jason Day still numero uno. Now, this week on the European Tour, we're off to Germany for the Porsche European Open at the golf resort Bad Griesbach in Bavaria. Nice golf course, Jamie. I understand they've had a bit of rain.
Been very wet there, yeah. They're not playing a practice round on Monday. Hopefully they can dry up so they can get people on the course on Tuesday. So, yeah, they've had some really bad weather there.
It's nice there. Kind of alpiney feel to it, isn't it? Almost foothills of the Alps there.
Yeah, beautiful down there in Bavaria. So we just need some dry weather this week and we'll all be set to play.
And will you be taking the manufacturer's product out for a little test ride?
I'm not a great driver, Robert, I have to be honest with you, and fast cars frighten the hell out of me, so no, but I'm sure quite a few of the boys will be taking it out, yeah.
I know they certainly gave them a bit of a rip last year. I mean, some roads in Germany, you have the speed limits off, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Terrifying. Yeah, especially some of the courtesy car drivers enjoy driving very quickly as well. So no, that's not for me, but as you know, a lot of the golfers, including yourself,
yeah,
enjoy a bit of high speed.
Yeah, can't beat a little car on four wheels that goes quite rapidly. Very nice. Who's playing?
Ernie Els is playing.
Very
he's,
good.
He's come over. Martin Kaymer, before he drifts off to Minnesota.
He's playing a bit there. Of golf, isn't he, before the Ryder Cup, Martin?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, everyone does it differently. Yeah. Martin knows what he's up to there. So he's playing, as is Thomas Peters, which is a good move.
I think he probably wasn't going to play it.
No, he wasn't.
No.
But he had to pull out of Holland, didn't he? After the Pro-Am, he had that bee sting,
yeah,
and was allergic to that. So he needs to play, Peters. Bernd Wiesberger is playing. Tong Chai Jai-di, the French Open champions playing. Victor Dubuisson, Torbjørn Ullesson. We could keep going on and
well,
on.
Well, do keep going. Give us
all
the
right.
flavour.
Pablo Larrazabal is playing. David Horsey, who had a good week.
A lot of Americans with invites as well. I see Bud Cawley's playing. There's quite a few.
Yes. Well, we've got Paul Peterson, of course, who won,
yeah,
won in Czech Republic as well. And, yeah, a few Matt Every's playing, American. So, yeah, it's a varied field full of international flavour. Jamie Donaldson, 2 years gone by since that great shot, winning the Ryder Cup.
Not many get to do that, do they?
No, they don't.
To hit the shot that's recognised by everybody, and you realise the moment. Not many people get to do that.
No, they don't. He's trying to balance both tours, Jamie Donaldson, over the last year or so. So
hard thing to do?
Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, I'm not sure what he'll do in the future, whether he'll stick to one tour or not.
Tips-wise, who are you going for?
Well. Well, the fact that it's wet, I'm thinking it's going to be playing fairly long. Is that a good summary so far?
Do you know what? Many people get it wrong about you. They think you're not on the ball. You're razor sharp.
I'm right there, aren't I?
Razor sharp.
I'm right there.
Yes.
Wet, not going to run.
Long.
So I'm thinking someone hits the ball quite long.
I see what you're doing there.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah. And with that
and
knowledge.
And someone who's in form as well last week, Tommy Fleetwood for me. He's due a week.
We played a few holes with him at the British Par 3. Do you remember that?
We took his money.
I had to give him 20, I'm afraid. And
well,
I played.
Sorry, I was thinking about myself.
Yeah, yeah. No, I had to give him money. But he looked to me like he'd gone back to his natural way of playing, and it looked very good to me. And I thought to myself, which I said to you at the time, that he's not far away from doing something.
We had a really good score yesterday in the Italian Open. So, yeah, I'm going to go with him. Who's the Lee Millions?
I'm going for Bernd Wiesberger as my tip.
Very good.
Yeah, he played very well and played some awfully good stuff in the last round at the KLM and didn't win. because he was just beaten by Joost Luiten, who popped him by a couple of shots, but he played some great stuff. So I'm going to go for Bernd Wiesberger.
Well done.
No can't doubt. Really argue with that, can you?
No, I can't. No, good pick.
OK, that's it for now. Please join us next week as we look back at the Porsche European Open and preview what's sure to be an enthralling 2016 Ryder Cup. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat. And please get in touch via Twitter with your questions at European Tour with the hashtag ETPodcast, all one word. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's gone for
Tommy Fleetwood,
and myself, Robert Lee is going to bring Bernd Wiesberger home. It's goodbye.